Welcome back to the Hemingway List. It's the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Talking about part 6, chapter 1. What is happening with Varenka? Have we met Tanya already? Those are the questions I asked. I am Norwegian, said I assumed that Varenka and Levin's brother are going to be sitting in a tree, kissing. Kissing. And I can't remember if we've met Tanya. I assumed it was one of Dolly's children. Swim said the mum fishy said, of course he wishes he could get away, but it is just so busy at work, lol. Oh, whoops, I skipped a bit. I am Norwegian said, I love how each part starts off feeling so fresh. Just when we really need a change of scenery, we get it. Just when we're getting sick of a character, perspectives change. Of course, Stepan would let their summer house fall into complete disrepair. Swim said the mum fishy said, and of course he wishes he could get away, but he is just so busy at work. Swim said the mum fishy also said, Varenka and Levin's brother seem to have a flirtation going on that Kitty evidently believes is going to lead to a proposal of marriage on the mushroom hunt. Or, as I'm Norwegian said, it might lead to them kissing sitting in a tree. Swims to the mum fishy says, I believe we met Tanya back in part 1 when Anna visited, and again on the Oblonsky estate when Levin came to visit. She is an Oblonsky daughter. Aha. Awesome. Thank you. That's very helpful to have these little things cleared up via this community. I'm extremely tired. I'm sorry if I'm talking weird. Chapter 2 goes like this. All the women of the household were assembled on the balcony. They always liked to sit there after dinner, but today they had special business there. Besides the sewing of little shirts and the knitting of swaddling bands, on which they were all engaged, today jam was being made there in a way new to Agatha Mikhailovna, without the addition of water to the fruit. Kitty was introducing this new way, which had been employed in her old home, and Agatha Mikhailovna, to whom this work had formerly been entrusted, and who considered that nothing that used to be done in the Levin house could be wrong, had, despite her directions, put water in the strawberry and the wild strawberry jam, declaring it to be indispensable. She had been detected doing this, and now the raspberry jam was being made in everyone's presence, as Agatha Mikhailovna had to be convinced that without water the jam could turn out well. Agatha Mikhailovna, with a flushed face and a grieved expression, her hair ruffled and her thin arms bared to the elbow, was shaking the preserving pan over the brazier with a circular movement, looking dismally at the raspberries and hoping with all her heart that they would harden and not get cooked through. The old princess, conscious that against her a chief adviser in the matter of jam boiling, Agatha Mikhailovna's wrath, should he directed, tried to look as if she were thinking of other things and was not interested in the raspberries. She talked to other matters, but watched the brazier out of the corner of her eye. I always buy dress materials for the maids myself at the sales, the princess said, continuing the conversation. Is it not time to take the scum off, my dear? She added, turning to Agatha Mikhailovna. It is not at all necessary for you to do it yourself. Besides, it's hot, she said, stopping Kitty. I will do it, said Dolly. And she got up and began sliding the spoon over the surface of the bubbling syrup, and now and then, to remove what had stuck to the spoon, she tapped it against a plate already covered with the yellowish pink scum, with blood-red streaks of syrup showing beneath it. How they'll lick it up at tea time, she thought of the children, remembering how she herself, when a child, used to marvel that the grown-ups did not eat the scum, the nicest part. Steva says it's better to give them money, Dolly remarked, returning to the interesting topic of what presents it was best to give the servants. But how can one give them money, said the princess and Kitty with one voice. They value presents so. Well, I, for instance, got our Matrina Semenovna, not exactly poplin, but something of that kind, last year, said the princess. How I remember she wrote it on your name day, wore it on your name day. The pattern is charming, so simple and refined. I would have had one more made like it myself, if she hadn't had it. It is something like Varenka's, and so pretty and cheap. Well, I think it is ready now, said Dolly, dripping syrup from the spoon. When it begins to string, it is ready. Boil it up a little longer, Agatha Mikhailovna. Oh, these flies, cried Agatha Mikhailovna crossly. It will come out just the same. Oh, how sweet he is. Don't frighten him, exclaimed Kitty, unexpectedly looking at a sparrow that had settled on the railing, turned a raspberry stalk over, and was pecking at it. Yes, but keep away from the brazier, said her mother. A propos de Varenka, said Kitty in French, which they had been talking all the time so that Agatha Mikhailovna should not understand them. Do you know, Mamma, I am somehow expecting it to be settled today. You understand what I mean, how nice it would be. Dear me, what a skilful matchmaker, teased Dolly. How carefully and adroitly she brings them together. Come, Mamma, tell me what you think about it. What am I to think? He meant Koznishev, could have made the best match in Russia any time. He could have made the best match in Russia any time. Now he is no longer so young. But all the same, I am sure many would marry him even now. She is very good-natured, but he might. Oh, but Mamma, try and understand why nothing better could be imagined either for him or for her. First of all, she is simply charming, expostulated Kitty, crooking one finger. He certainly likes her very much, Dolly chimed in. Secondly, his position in the world is such that neither property nor the social position of his wife matters to him at all. He only needs a good, sweet, quiet wife. Yes, one certainly can trust her, again chimed in Dolly. Thirdly, she must love him, and that, too, is, in a word, it would be splendid. I expect when they come back from the wood it will be all settled. I shall see it at once by their eyes. I should be so glad. What do you think, Dolly? But don't get me excited. There is no need at all for you to get excited, admonished her mother. But I am not excited, Mamma. I think he will propose today. Ah, how strange it is when and how a man proposes. There is a sort of barrier, and suddenly it goes down, said Dolly with a dreamy smile, recalling her past with Oblonsky. Mamma, how did Papa propose to you? Kitty suddenly inquired. There was nothing special about it. It was quite simple, answered the princess, but her face brightened at the memory. No, but how? You really loved him before you were allowed to talk to one another. Kitty felt a particular charm in being able now to talk with her mother as an equal about those chief events in a woman's life. Of course he loved me. He used to visit us in the country. But how was it decided, Mamma? I suppose you think you discovered something new. It was just the same. It was decided by the eyes, by smiles. How well you put it, Mamma, by the eyes and by smiles. That's just it, chimed in Dolly. But what about the words, he said. What words did Constantine say to you? He wrote with chalk. It was wonderful. How long ago it seems, she replied. And the three women meditated silently on the same subject. Kitty was the first to break the silence. She recalled the whole of the winter preceding her marriage and her infatuation with Vronsky. There's one thing, that old love affair of Varenka's, she said, following the natural sequence of her thoughts. I wish to tell Koznishev somehow to prepare him. Men, all of them, are terribly jealous of our pasts. Not all, said Dolly. You judge by your own husband. He is still tormented by the memory of Vronsky, eh? Am I not right? You are, answered Kitty, her eyes smiling dreamily. But I do not know, interposed the princess, defending her maternal watchfulness over her daughter, what there is in your past to trouble him. That Vronsky courted you. Such things happen to every girl. Oh, but we are not talking about that, said Kitty, blushing. No, excuse me, her mother continued, and then you yourself would not let me talk it over with Vronsky, don't you remember? Oh, Mamma, said Kitty, looking pained. Nowadays one can't hold you girls in. Your relations with him could not have gone beyond what was proper, else I should have spoken to him myself. However, my love, it won't do for you to get agitated. Please remember that and keep calm. I am quite calm, Mamma. "How happily it turned out for Kitty that Anna came," said Dolly, "and how unhappily for her. The exact reverse," she added, struck by her thought. "Then Anna was so happy, and Kitty considered herself miserable. Now it's the exact reverse. I often think of her. She's not worth thinking about, a horrid, disgusting woman, without a heart," said their mother, unable to forget that Kitty had not married Vronsky, but Levin. "What is the use of talking about that?" expostulated Kitty with vexation. "I don't think about it, and don't want to," she said, listening to her husband coming up the balcony steps. "I don't want to think about it." "And about what don't you want to think?" he asked as he came up. No one answered, and he did not repeat the question. "I'm sorry I've intruded into your women's domain," he said, glancing around them all with a dissatisfied air, and realizing that they had been talking of something they would not have talked of in his presence. For an instant he felt that he shared Agatha Mikhailovna's dissatisfaction that the jam was boiled without water, and with an alien Shabatsky influence in general. He smiled, however, and went up to Kitty. "Well?" he asked, looking at her with the expression with which everyone addressed her nowadays. "Quite all right," replied Kitty with a smile. "And your affairs? The wagons will hold three times as much as peasants' carts. Shall we go and fetch the children? I have ordered the trap." "What? Are you going to take Kitty in the trap?" said her mother reproachfully. "Only at a walking pace, princess." Levin never called the princess Maman, as son-in-laws usually do, and this displeased the princess. But though he liked and respected her very much, Levin could not address her without violating his feeling for his dead mother. "Come with us, Mama," said Kitty. "I don't wish to see such unreasonable doings." "Well, then I'll go on foot. Walking is good for me." And Kitty rose, went to her husband, and took his arm. "It's good for you in moderation," said the princess. "Well, Agatha Mikhailovna, is the jam done?" asked Levin, smiling at her and wishing to cheer her up. "Has it turned out well the new way? I suppose we'd have thought it overdone." "It's better so, Agatha Mikhailovna. It won't ferment, and we have no ice left in the cellar and nowhere to keep it cool," said Kitty, immediately seeing her husband's intention and addressing the old woman in the same spirit. "On the other hand, your pickling is such that Mama says she never tasted anything like it," she added, smiling and putting the old woman's kerchief straight. Agatha Mikhailovna looked crossly at Kitty. "You need to comfort me, ma'am. I just look at you and him, and then I feel happy," she said. And that disrespectful way of speaking of her master as him seemed touching to Kitty. "Come with us and get mushrooms. You will show us the right places." Agatha Mikhailovna smiled and shook her head, as much as to say, "Though I should like to be cross with you, I can't do it." "Please follow my advice," said the old princess. "Cover the jam with paper soaked in rum, and then it will not get mouldy, even without ice." Alrighty, there we go. That's chapter 2 complete. Sorry about the sleepy reading. Thanks very much for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.